Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, fish oil supplementation is associated with a reduced risk of death during 9-year medium follow-up. From Southern Medical University, published in the British Medical Journal. That's a big deal. You're talking about reducing your risk of dying simply by taking something that, well, it's easy to take, it's inexpensive, it's it's non-toxic, and it can help us. Why isn't that being discussed? I mean, that's something that's right now and today, everybody could benefit from it, and yet you don't see that discussed anywhere, and we believe it, that it should. So we're going to talk about that, and we have about 12 other important items. But also today, we're going to take a look at some other issues. For example, Joe Biden won a lot of states, and therefore right now the mainstream media, especially the New York Times, is saying, yes, he is the real Scandinavian, whatever that means, I guess. Follow Joe Biden's advice on foreign policy and we'll be just like they are in Scandinavia, not Bernie Sanders and his type of democratic socialism, whatever that is. So it's all about Biden. Why? Relatively simple. He is the safest bet for corporate America, the deep state, and the neoliberal agenda. So no one's going to interfere if Joe Biden, or for that matter Hillary Clinton, or for that matter Barack Obama, were in the White House. Democrat and Republicans, most will line up behind the agenda because it serves their interests as well. What is not on the agenda is taking care of our failing infrastructures, the fact that over 1.5 million children are homeless who go to school each day, that we have Gulf War veterans killing themselves at 21 per day, far more than the coronavirus, but that's not important. The fact that we have American medicine killing at minimum, according to the AMA and official medical sources, over 250,000 Americans each year, that's more than all the viruses have been killing people for the last 20 years. And that's just in 1 year, but that's not important either. The fact that global warming is now tipping, meaning nothing we're going to do is going to make a difference for at least half of the major world tipping events, like overheating the Arctic and the melting of Antarctica and the desertification of much of the world, including extreme dryness in many areas of the United States, making the ability to grow food almost impossible. So these are the things we're dealing with. Joe Biden will deal with none of that. Corporate America will deal with none of that, and the Democrat and Republicans will deal with none of that. So I just want you to know what Joe Biden's victory really means, and we should take a careful look at Joe Biden, and so we will today. Jimmy Dore on Joe Biden. Also, we have a very interesting clip from the Solari Report on vaccine mandates with Professor Mary Holland. I think you'll find this of interest. She's saying that we have a legal right not to vaccinate because it interferes with the Geneva Convention and other conventions of using our body without our permission, meaning you cannot have another person put anything in your body that you did not agree to. So we're going to talk about that. Then there is one tremendous dialogue. It's short. It's testimony before congressional hearing on a medical doctor who's also a scientist talking about 5G technology. Now, we're writing an article, have been for the last week, I'll hopefully have it ready by Friday, on 5G, giving you information you have not heard before. And then a short clip from Michael Douglas, the actor, on Unbreaking America. So that's our program. We have a lot to share today. So let's begin. And we begin, of course, with the latest on health and healing, as we do every day. An analysis reported in the current issue of the British Medical Journal reveals that a lower risk for premature death and cardiovascular disease of all types if you use fish oil for men and women. And that's important. And this goes as early as the age of 40, by the way, because more and more young people are being diagnosed with dementia, yeah, in their 40s, and they're living shorter lives. So there was a substantial reduce, a 20% lower death rate in those who took the fish oil. That's important. So take your fish oil. Also, from the University of Illinois, daily avocado consumption improves attention in persons who are overweight or obese. This is published in the Journal of Psychophysiology, meaning that the nutrients in an avocado help you by creating satiety because it's a good fat, and it also helps people who are overweight or obese. So this was a randomized controlled trial. So an avocado is a very good food, and we should be using it on a regular basis. Even a half an avocado a day would be terrific. They're very high in fiber, and they're also high in monounsaturated fats, and they're loaded with nutrients. And we know that those nutrients are good for our cognition, for our brain. They turn off, they turn off inflammation. They also are rich in lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N. So take your avocado. That's one way of getting your good fats and also helping your brain in cognitive performance. From the University of Southern California comes a study about squatting or kneeling may have health benefits. Standing desks are really passe at this moment. It's time for squatting desks. You heard me right. A University of Southern California study shows that squatting or kneeling can be important for resting positions in human evolution, including our modern days. We already know, and we've discussed many times on this program, that sitting for hours a day is linked to some health risks, including cardiovascular disease, likely because it involves low muscle activity and low muscle metabolism. However, these risks seem paradoxical. For humans, evolutionary pressures favor conserving energy. Spending a lot of time sitting would seem to accomplish that goal. So why should sitting be so harmful? According to the University of Southern California, they've shown that resting postures used before the invention of chairs, like squatting and kneeling, can hold the answer, as they involve higher levels of muscle activity than chair sitting. And these more active rest postures may help protect people from the harmful effects of inactivity. So we tend to think of human physiology as adapting to the conditions in which we evolve. So just one more way that we can help ourselves be healthier instead of just sitting. This was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So how you rest is what matters, not just that you rest. So something important, something simple, and something that's almost self-evident when you look back at it. Also, a new study from University of Western Ontario says junk food orders up trouble for young brains. We all know that teenagers tend, as a rule and as a group, there are exceptions, not to eat healthy. And we also know that the teenagers in your kitchen feasting on fast food and candy bars and sodas is also not good. All the more reason for adults to help them before they cause long-term damage to their developing brains. In this study, they simply found that if you take the time to work with children, even those that are obstinate, and you show them how to make what you would consider junk foods out of healthy foods. I'll give you an example. I would take a healthy gluten-free, source like millet, make it into a crust, you can do that overnight by putting it into a food dehydrator at 120 degrees, so it's still a living food. You can use a fresh organic tomato sauce. You can use vegan cheese, mozzarella cheese, for example. And you can use vegan other sources, plus mushrooms and red peppers, lots of oregano and garlic, thinly sliced garlic. And you've made yourself a delicious gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan pizza. Now, I've done this, and I've served it to people, and they loved it, and they thought it was as good as a regular pizza. That is what you do with almost everything that they find that they like that is a junk food. In other words, look at their diet and start by a transition so that it has the same smell and mouthfeel, but is all made from healthy ingredients. For example, I can take an avocado. I can blend an avocado with raw cacao, high cacao, even up to 100%. A little bitter, but the avocado also has a slight sweetness to it. I can add in some stevia. I can then add in the nibbits, and the nibbits are the tiny little pieces of the cacao, little chips. I can then take some cherries or cranberries or any of the other berries, and I can add that in, blend it up, put in some coconut meat, and you can buy coconut meat, and it's just the coconut that is matured. They've taken out that the white meat of it, and I blend all that together, and then on top, and then I put it in a mold, and I refrigerate it. You can actually freeze it if you want. And then I can make a topping over it, like drizzle a raspberry sauce. And you would not know that that is not a chocolate cheesecake. It has the mouthfeel, the smoothness, the texture, the taste. It is delicious. Every single thing in there is anti-inflammatory. Everything in there is good for your heart. Everything is a good fat. So if you gave someone a piece of that cheesecake, or you could make it into any other, you know, thing you wanted, they're going to like it. So it's a transition. So what we should start doing is making transitional diets for people who are finicky eaters. And that way you're helping, especially young people, you're helping their brains develop better. And because they're eating sugar and refined carbohydrates and the trans fats and the saturated fats that are unhealthy. Something simple. From the University of Isfahan, which is in Iran, green tea extract and endurance training turns on your metabolism. So with a healthier metabolism, you lose weight. That's good. And you also have a strong anti-inflammatory activity. So the almost all exercise creates inflammation. All right? So you compensate. So, for example, when I was out today doing a long run, because I'm starting my training for the World Games in 5 months, that long training creates inflammation. So before I went out, I took a certain set of nutrients and oils, like coconut oil, that is anti-inflammatory. So as the body's creating oxidative stress and therefore giving off, let's say, free radicals, the free radicals are being trapped and neutralized. When I come back, within 20 minutes of my workout, I always have the protein with branched-chain amino acids. That way I can get better muscle and more muscle. And then at the same time, the antioxidants, like vitamin E, vitamin C, coenzyme Q10, it sweeps up, in effect, the rest. It's an unpaired electron in the outer orbit, which attaches to an antioxidant like vitamin E and neutralizes it. But for our purpose, we would just say you take your antioxidant before you work out, you take them after you work out, and if you take a drink that has your green tea in it, like a smoothie, then you actually have more endurance and you have less inflammation. So you get a double positive. Also, there's a question out of the University of Texas. Could cancer immunotherapy success depend upon your gut bacteria? All those hundreds of billions of bacteria residing in your intestine. And a study by researchers, University of Texas, Southwestern Medical Center, and the University of Chicago suggests exactly yes, that is true, revealing that gut bacteria can penetrate tumor cells and boost the effectiveness of an experimental immunotherapy that targets CD47 protein. So that's good. Again, what here is happening, you're combining alternative and non-toxic therapeutic models with more the orthodox model to get a greater effect. This was published in the Journal of Experimental Medicine, and it showed it worked. And milk thistle inhibited prostate cancer cells. This is from Ezekiyar University in Turkey. So we know historically that milk thistle has been used for the liver, principally. And this is a good study showing that it is also important for prostate cancer. So just something to consider. And also, a study finds athletes who play indoor sports at risk of vitamin D deficiency. This is from George Mason University and the Mayo Clinic, published in Journal Nutrients. It just means when you're outside and you're exercising and you're playing a sport, you're getting the sun. And because you're in athletic outfits, you know, generally for most, part of your body is exposed. And that's good. That's what you want. Whereas if all your training and everything is inside, you're lacking that vitamin D. That's what it's saying. So the more you do outside, the better it is for your immune system, and that makes a difference. By the way, proper lymphatic massage, according to Medical News Today, and by the way, understand where your lymph glands are. It's not that difficult. Under your neck, under your armpits, under your breasts, in your groin area. Giving those proper massage and not wearing tight bras or tight-fitting underwear, according to the latest study, stimulates blood flow and helps lymphatic drainage. And that's good. That's all good. I'm Gary Nall. We are 17 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going directly from our break into taking a look at a few issues. And in this case, we're looking, in fact, I'm not going to go to Joe Biden first. I'm going to go to this 5G medical doctor. She's terrific. I want you to hear what she has to say, because she has a limited amount of time and she's talking to a group under oath and she nails it. I mean, she really nails it. So listen to what she has to say. All right, we'll be back in a moment.
Internal medicine physician. I've practiced medicine for 21 years, and my background is mostly academic internal medicine, hospital-based, clinical research, and medical education. I am going to skip many of the things I wanted to say because I didn't realize it was only 5 minutes. Wireless radiation has biological effects, period. This is no longer a subject for debate when you look at PubMed and the peer-reviewed literature. These effects are seen in all life forms: plants, animals, insects, microbes. In humans, we have clear evidence of cancer now. There is no question. We have evidence of DNA damage, cardiomyopathy, which is the precursor of congestive heart failure, neuropsychiatric effects. So 5G is not a conversation about whether or not these biological effects exist. They clearly do. 5G is a conversation about unsustainable healthcare expenditures. Why do I say this? We've been sitting on the evidence for EMR and chronic disease for decades. And now we are seeing all these epidemics appearing. So diabetes is the first epidemic. I think most of you know the statistics. They're very scary. 1 in 3 American children will become diabetic in their lifetime, and if they're Hispanic females, the number is 1 in 2. Okay. So what does this have to do with wireless radiation? Wireless radiation and other electromagnetic fields, such as magnetic fields and dirty electricity, have been clearly associated with elevated blood sugar and diabetes. That is what the peer-reviewed literature says. It is not opinion. The closer you live to a cell tower, the higher your blood glucose. That is based on hemoglobin A1C measurements. So the idea with small cells of putting the cells closer to people's homes and bedrooms, scientifically, is very dangerous. And from an economic perspective, it's dangerous. And you may not know this. I was shocked to find this out. But the way you create a model of diabetes in rats in the lab is by exposing them to 2.4 gigahertz. And this is not for long-term exposure. I don't have time to talk about the costs, but the huge problem with diabetes really is chronic kidney disease. End-stage renal disease, the worst complication of diabetes, leads to hemodialysis. Hemodialysis is an automatic qualification for Medicare. And if you don't qualify for Medicare, we still have to dialyze the patient. And the state ends up paying in many different instances. So, renal failure is 1% of Medicare, but it takes up 7% of all Medicare expenditures. I don't have time to talk about this anymore, but once again, the other epidemics that clearly link from the science with electromagnetic radiation are related to mental health. And this is straight from PubMed. This isn't my opinion, this is science.
Dr. Goldberg, for those of us who aren't physicians, what is PubMed?
I'm sorry. It's just it's our National Library of Medicine. This is where you would go. This is just the peer-reviewed literature. So we have three epidemics that clearly, they're essentially one epidemic. We have deterioration of mental health in the United States. And if you look really at the science, what does it show? And these epidemics are our suicide epidemic, epidemics in violent, so shootings, and the opioid epidemic. And I don't have 5 minutes is not the time to talk about this. This is in the peer-reviewed literature. I have a file to submit for the record. But these are facts. These are things that have just been glossed over by the wireless industry. And I really don't have time to talk about them in 5 minutes. I wish I did. But we need to examine our epidemics in the context of our EMF exposures. What does that mean? That means that the CDC tracking these epidemics we need to start measuring how much radiation are people being exposed to. And before we roll out 5G, and this means there are 4 kinds of electromagnetic fields that we know are harmful to human health. So radio frequency radiation, magnetic fields, dirty electricity, and electric fields. Okay? Our exposure, any given person, and all humans are affected by EMFs. Our given exposure has nothing to do with the research that my colleagues are going to cite with the National Toxicology Program. That is an assessment of the risk of one cell phone in the near field, okay? What is our exposure in a day? It's not one cell phone. It's cell phones, it's multiple wireless networks, it's smart meters, it's cell towers. It's this sandwich, and it all adds up. And this is a serious problem for occupational health, public safety, and personal safety. And I feel that it's irresponsible to be even talking about the Internet of Things and rolling out a new untested technology when we're not even measuring what are our current exposures from the current networks.
Okay, there you have a medical doctor, board certified, and a research scientist and academic. She only had 5 minutes, but she made clear it causes cancer, All of them cause cancer. All of them. The cell phones, the high Wi-Fi. But 5G is 100 times more powerful than all of those. I believe that we're going to see a worldwide pandemic of environmental sensitive illnesses that we will not initially grasp the significance, and as a result, these people will not be treated correctly, and the problem will be avoided for years because the power these organizations have over the media. And they're going to continue. They're going to continue propagating this. And understand, right now we do have most of our freedoms of choice, except when it comes to vaccines and third-party candidates. But we do have the right to eat a junk food or a health food, have a glass of alcohol or a glass of vegetable juice. We can exercise or not. We can watch television or not, or spend all day on the internet or not. We can read a book. We can talk in person with a person. We can go to a museum or not. We have choices to have a relationship or not. But we will not be given that opportunity once this goes into effect, because there's no voting on it. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were responsible for giving the industry all that it wanted and more, including the right to put their towers anywhere they wanted and our non-right to take them down. We have no rights, not at the state level, not at the federal level, not the local level. So even if you have a group of people who decide we don't want in Bangor, Maine, or we don't want in a town in Oregon, Portland, we don't want 5G, that's irrelevant. They'll go to court and they'll win because it's in the federal statute. They're going to be able to do it. They're going to win these. Just like if you sued a vaccine maker today, you can sue them. First time it gets into court, it's going to be thrown out because there's going to be a federal law from 1986 that Ronald Reagan signed in that allows them not to be sued. They're exempt. The Wi-Fi industry, the 5G industry, has the same protections today. But no insurance company is insuring them. So, but these are major corporations, hundreds of billions of dollars in equity and value, so they can pay lawsuits unless they're massive class action lawsuits. But they're now putting up 500% more satellites into the orbit than all satellites in world history. So nowhere on the planet will you be able to go and be outside of the range of one of these being able to impact you. It's dangerous, irresponsible. They have no science on their side showing they're safe, and we have over 10,000 studies on our side showing they're dangerous. So if you don't think it's important, you will. And just like if you watch an ad for an anti-allergy pill on television, and they'll tell you, you know, the problems of allergies and how inconvenient your nose runs sometimes, get a little flushed. And then real quick, they'll tell you the side effects. And frequently the side effects of all medications is death. At least you're told. If you're told the side effects and you buy it and you have the side effects, in effect, that's a get out of jail free for the manufacturer. Well, we told you, we warned you. There is no such warning with 5G. It's just all positive. And of course, they are designing their advertising and propaganda campaign for the millennials who don't do the research. They don't have the scholarship. They have access to it, but they're not using it. It's like saying, my goodness, I went into the library and there were 3 million books at my disposal. Did you read any? No, but they're there. Then what's the point? So it is the research that counts. And we know that these are not deep thinking individuals. They're more interested in how they feel about things than what is right and wrong, based upon their ability to do their own discernible independent research. So that's what's coming at you. Now we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to, in a few moments, we're going to go to Joe Biden in his own words to show you what kind of contemptible person. Now he's just a, in my opinion, personal opinion, he has advanced dementia. Not as advanced to Alzheimer's, but boy, he's getting there. I've seen it. I've seen it in thousands of people. And to have the most powerful person in the world have such mental faculty decline? So why? Why are they promoting him? Why are those contemptible stories and op-eds in the New York Times every day promoting Joe Biden and attacking Sanders? Simple. It's all corporate control. They all benefit as long as nothing changes. Stay the same, walk on, nothing to see here. Joe Biden is that person. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Joe Biden ran for president in 1988. And I remember this because I was in college. It was a year before I started comedy. And this is before the internet. Yeah, and the guy had to drop out.
Well, the guy who beat him in 88 went on to do great, though, right?
Oh, the caucus. Watch this.
Candidate Joseph Biden today faces a controversy. 3 weeks ago at a debate at the Iowa State Fair, he used phrases identical to those delivered by British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock.
Biden seemed to be claiming Kinnock's vision and life as his own.
Why is it that my wife is sitting out there in the audience, is the first in her family to ever go to college?
Why is Gladys the first woman in her family in a thousand generations to be able to get the university?
My ancestors who worked in the coal mines in northeast Pennsylvania and come up after 12 hours and play football.
8 hours underground and then come up and play football.
It's because they didn't have a platform upon which to stand.
There was no platform upon which they could stand.
The notion that every thought or notion or idea you'd have to go back and find and attribute to someone, I think is, quite frankly, ludicrous.
The problem here is that Senator Biden told his audience he'd just been thinking about these things, and he failed to give any credit at all to his famous British speechwriter.
So this is the guy they want to run against Trump because Trump's such a big liar. He had to drop out the first time he ran because he got caught being a political plagiarist and lying about it. This is the guy. This is the establishment's big idea.
I was thinking on the way over here. Now that's a little too much because, as you point out, what's behind the words? What's there? And a lot of people, the rap on Biden has always been that it's just a surface.
I should have said, to paraphrase Neil Kinnock, It's the only time I didn't, in all the times I've ever used it.
But CBS News found a tape of a second instance.
It reappeared in the New York Times with a new charge, that Biden had appropriated a famous litany from the late Robert Kennedy about what the gross national product cannot measure.
It cannot measure the health of our children.
The health of our children.
The quality of their education.
The quality of their education.
The joy of their play.
Or the joy of their play.
Biden gave Kennedy no credit. He has also quoted or paraphrased John Kennedy, Hubert Humphrey, and British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock, all without credit.
Joseph Biden admitted today that he committed plagiarism when he was in law school. He said it was a mistake, but that it was unintentional.
This is the guy they're running against Trump because he's so corrupt.
What do you think he's going to steal from Boris Johnson before this is all over? I think he's going to...
committed plagiarism in law school. He had to drop out of front running for president because he committed plagiarism.
Oh, come on.
He constantly lying. His own staff told him stop lying about your role in the civil rights movement. He wouldn't stop lying about it. He just lied that he got arrested with Nelson Mandela. It's a bald-faced lie.
And stop saying that he's a good guy. That's not a good guys don't do that, by the
way. Quoted 5 pages of someone else's work without proper citation.
I've done some dumb things. And I'll do dumb things again.
Boy, does he sound like his kid, Hunter, or what?
Yes.
That's exactly how Hunter lies through stuff.
Exactly.
That's
I was thinking the same thing.
I've been through some stuff. I've been through a lot of stuff.
Well, at least he was telling the truth there. I've done some dumb things, and I'll do some dumb things again. Yep. We're watching this now in the future. You sure did, Joe. You sure did.
He was given an F.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I've been dumb.
To the political community in Washington, it all seems of a piece. Plagiarism at law school, plagiarism on the stump.
The great communicator. Strike that. The great imitator.
You don't steal verbatim, or when you do, as he did 99% of the time, you give credit.
Biden's critics say he sells himself as a man whose words and visions can inspire a new generation in politics. But if the thoughts, phrases, and visions really belong to others, It's a form of false advertising.
Is it a wise idea, though, to take something that personal, anyway, from another politician and try and appropriate it to your own campaign?
I think it was a stupid thing to appropriate material that was really very personal, that was someone else's.
Most people didn't know who he was, you know, Joe Biden, and now they're going to say, oh, yeah, he's the guy who plagiarized.
That's a lot of people.
Politically, that's devastating.
These clips are devastating. He looks like a Joe Biden wind-up doll with somebody else's words coming out.
If they're going to do things that are stupid as well as immoral, then they're probably too dumb to have the job of president.
Voters are going to have to decide whether he was dishonest or dumb.
Senator Joseph Biden may have more explaining to do.
The new questions stem from taped remarks of Biden during an April campaign appearance in New Hampshire.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class.
He's a pathological liar. This is the guy you're going to have go up against Trump because Trump is a pathological liar? Do you understand how empty and hollow the Democratic Party has been since Trump got elected? That they've been running against him because he's a liar and they're a bunch of lying, corrupt murderers themselves? That's how you're going to oppose Trump? Because guess what? They passed his complete legislative agenda. They don't oppose Trump. They don't. The donor class is super happy with Trump. They're super happy with Bernie losing.
I just wonder if his stories will keep getting more and more ridiculous as the campaign trail goes on. Like, he's going to be like, look, I was the guy. I was the guy who told Pontius Pilate this Jesus of Nazareth is the good dude. You got to let him go. Then I was the guy who moved that stone a couple days later. I was there. I was the guy.
I'm the guy who had the Salk vaccine distributed. I'm that guy. Wait, there's more.
That he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
All right.
Okay, come
on. Let me get a running start on that, because that's pretty awesome.
He concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the university.
Breaking news, Joe Biden actually didn't go to college. We have not tracked down his high school diploma. More at 11.
The guy's a pathological liar. This is the decent guy that you're going to run against Donald Trump because Donald Trump's too big of a liar.
Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden is victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead meat, yes or no?
I think so.
Bob?
He's in terminal condition.
Terminal? Eleanor?
Yes, unless he comes in third in Iowa.
Morton.
Dying.
I say dead.
So that's the guy. You don't think Trump's going to use all these videotapes? You don't think the videotape of him saying, I got 3 degrees, I was in the top half of my class, I was the outstanding political science student, all of that a lie? Doesn't that sound like somebody else you know? Doesn't that sound like Donald Trump? This is the guy that the establishment wants to ram down your throat. And Bernie's not going to fight back sufficiently, so just get ready that he's not going to do it. They're now, today, starting to run negative ads against Joe Biden, which is political malfeasance. That's malpractice. And it's nice to see the rest of the left coming around. It's nice to see. I don't know if you've noticed, but everybody's saying Bernie's got to take the gloves off now. He's got to go at Joe Biden and say, blah, blah, blah. Well, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. It's nice to see that, again, these things are obvious, right? I don't run around saying, you know, I'm smarter than everybody when it comes to politics, or I'm even smart. The whole point of this show is that you don't have to be smart to see what's wrong with our system. That's how messed up it is.
Okay. There you have Jimmy Dore playing actual clips, tapes showing that Joe Biden is a pathological liar, that he's a plagiarizer, that he steals other people's ideas, and that he supported the Patriot Act. He supported the invasion of Iraq. And never apologized for it. He supported the National Defense Authorization Act and asset forfeiture. He supported the private prison system. He supported the credit card companies' usurious rates. I mean, everything that you could possibly support that's wrong, he supported. And now he has to give seven-minute discussions, lectures people at a rally for 7 minutes because they're afraid, even with a teleprompter showing him what to say, he can't last more than 7 minutes. And this is a person that the Democrats and the New York Times want to be president, the most powerful person in the world. This is a disgrace. And that's why people who historically were liberals, like myself, we have pushed away from all that nonsense. We will not allow our own ethics and morals, consciousness to be in any way corrupted, as everyone else in the media and everyone else in the body politics has been utterly corrupted. So as much as the people can't stand legislators, and they shouldn't, or trust politicians, and they never should be trusted, that's how much we trust the media. It's at the bottom of the barrel, in my opinion. In any case, now we're going to hear from Professor Mary Holland. She is a professor of international law and human rights issues at New York University. She has joined Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Children's Defense Fund to fight on behalf of the countless millions of voiceless parents and children who have suffered from vaccine damage. And she has a unique perspective on the sanctity of our bodies, not to be violated by anyone, and that we can say no. Let's hear what she has to say.
You know, after World War II, when the world adopted a standard that said there can be no experimentation on humans without prior free and informed consent, which means you have legal capacity, it means there could be no duress, no fraud, no coercion. That should have ended mandates globally for vaccines and for everything else.
Right.
And since that time in 1945, there's been an expansion from just experimentation to treatment. And so the UNESCO Declaration of 2005 says that you have to have informed consent for preventive medical interventions. That means you have the right to say no. Consent means you have the right to say no. And many advanced countries with excellent health metrics, Japan, Scandinavia, Germany, up until recently, Spain, other countries, they have no mandates. UK, they have recommendations, but they have no mandates. And what we're starting to see now, not only in the United States in this trend toward mandates, but globally, we're seeing this greater level of coercion. And my reading of human rights law and of US law is that this is unlawful because we have adopted as the hallmark of modern medicine prior free and informed consent. And that means you have
right.
to have legal capacity and you have to have the right to say no. And we're seeing erosion of both of those things, that it's free consent and erosion that you have to have legal capacity. And we can talk more about that.
Well, I remember in high school having literally the Nuremberg Code kind of beaten into us. And, you know, we were really taught to believe that a society that would violate those was abhorrent, shocking, appalling. And mm-hmm. what has most amazed me about some of the vaccination policies and the mandates is the extent to which we seem to have just sailed across that line without thought or discussion. It's hard for me to fathom that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Catherine. It's hard to fathom. It's very clear to anybody with a moment's thought and reading about this, that these are extremely serious medical interventions, all of which carry the potential risk of death. They like to say that the risk is one in a million. There's no evidence for that. The risks are far higher than that. But all you have to do is, on the internet, look up a product insert for a polio vaccine or for a
right.
diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis. I mean, there's, you know, 50 different medical conditions, typically including death, that are listed on the product insert. And so the propaganda rolls on. Vaccines are safe and effective. Vaccines are safe and effective. But, you know, when you look for evidence of this, it's just not true. I mean, all you have to do is look at what the manufacturers say to ensure that they continue to be liability free. We should talk about that. They list the things that people report to them are adverse events after vaccination with this vaccine. Now, they go to great lengths to say this isn't proven and we never go back and test and this is a sample size of unknown number, but these are reported adverse events from this vaccine. I don't know how you can say that somebody shouldn't have the right to say, no, you know, I'll take my risks. I'd really rather get the mumps than die. I mean, it's just, it's silly. It's just silly. I mean, this whole debate on a certain level is just so silly.
Clearly, what we should be doing is meeting this summer, ideally in August, and in Washington, in front of Congress, and have all the people who question the safety and efficacy of vaccines together, and all people who support children's rights together, and say, rescind the 1986 vaccine exemption law that holds vaccine makers harmless from the damage done by their vaccines. That's what we need to do. Now, we're going to complete our show today with a discussion by Michael Douglas, the actor, who's father, Kirk Douglas, recently passed at the age of 103. Nice long life there. And what he says simply makes sense. I've heard Jennifer Lawrence also give similar discussion to this issue, where we have to start looking beyond the Democrats, beyond the Republicans, beyond the oligarchs, beyond the deep state and the corporatization of our body politic, and looking for new ways, new parties, and opening all of our political system up to a more progressive ideal.
America's political system has been hijacked to ensure those with power keep it. If you look at American politics and think everything is fine, this video is not for you. To the rest of us, things seem pretty broken. I mean, our forefathers created a beautiful system, and we live in a magical country. How the hell did things get so bad? These days, just 2% of Americans trust that our elections work how they're supposed to. Congress has an approval rating of 20%. Our leaders are locked in partisan warfare, and they aren't fixing anything. And we're angry. We're angry at the system, at each other. Our country is getting poorer, sicker, more divided, and our families are paying the price. We don't even talk to each other anymore. America's political system has been hijacked to ensure those with power keep it. And for the rest of us, well, it's not so good. I'm going to show you exactly how today's political system is creating the problem, exactly how we fix it, and how the solution ultimately depends on you. This Venn diagram shows the relationship between an elected official doing what the people want and their likelihood of getting reelected. Ideally, they'd serve the people and have a high likelihood of reelection. But a recent Harvard Business School report by Professor Michael Porter and Catherine Gale show that the relationship looks more like this. They found virtually no correlation between serving the will of the people and getting reelected. In other words, if our elected leaders do their jobs, they're more likely to lose their jobs. How is that possible? The report blames it on two privately held gain-seeking organizations, America's two major political parties. In 2019, both major parties publicly threatened to blacklist candidates and contractors who veered from the party lines. They control the money, the debates, the primaries. They even draw their own voting districts. A full 61% of Americans want another option. But any third party or independent who runs is seen as a spoiler. So year after year, we choose between the lesser of two evils, Democrats, Republicans, Republicans, Democrats. In any other environment, a new competitor would swoop in to better serve their constituency. You hate your cable company? Here comes streaming. But the two parties have rigged the system to block competition. But it gets worse. In 86% of House races, we now know which party will win the general election before it even starts. That means all of the competition is in the primaries, where as few as 14% of voters participate. And primary voters tend to be more partisan than those who vote in the general election. So the most partisan candidates win the primary. They're virtually guaranteed to win the general, so you can guess what happens next. Over time, the parties move further and further apart. This graphic shows members of Congress who worked with the other party to pass a law in 1953. The gray lines represent their collaboration. The more lines you see, the more times they crossed party lines to pass a law. This is how it looked in 67. In 81. Look what happened in 1995, and by 2011, it represents where we are today. Hardliners are rewarded, collaboration is vilified. Congress is so gridlocked they can't even pass the most basic laws to improve the lives of everyday Americans. For the first time since the Great Depression, life expectancy in the U.S. is actually going down while it goes up in the rest of the world. We were once ranked top in the world for education. We've fallen to 27th. We can't afford life-saving prescriptions, and medical bills are forcing families into bankruptcy. Almost half of American families can't even afford basic necessities like rent and food. What I want to know is, how do we fix it? You know, I think I'm getting a little carried away here, so I'm going to bring my friend Josh in while I calm down.
We need to take our government back and make it work for us. So much of what's failing is a symptom of our failed elections. Look, this isn't about giving power to the right or to the left or asking Congress to fix itself, because frankly, they won't. So we have to go around Congress. And the good news is, in the U.S., states run elections, even federal elections. So when we pass election laws in a state, it affects the federal elections. And get this, a Bloomberg News study showed that throughout American history, passing state laws has been the key to creating massive federal change. And the law we need to pass? It's called the American Anti-Corruption Act. It fixes the system so government can work for you and your family, not just a handful of special interests and political insiders. Here's how it works. We have independent commissions draw voting districts. We make it illegal for lobbyists to donate to politicians. We give every voter a $100 tax credit that they can use to support the candidate of their choice. We put reasonable term limits on elected officials. We implement ranked choice voting to allow independents and third parties to run without spoiling elections. And finally, we enact secure, automatic voter registration and vote from home ballots. So now you've got more people voting and it's easier to vote. This is common sense stuff. It creates a Congress that's more responsive to the people and can finally get stuff done. Look, we've pulled this law and it's incredibly popular across party lines. All we have to do is pass them in states across the country. How do we do that?
Aha! Thank you, Josh. That brings us to this simple pie chart. It shows the percentage of a population required to create real and lasting change. Researchers looked at movements from all over the world and found that when 3.5% of a population actively engages in...
And everyone, the webinar is posted, so you can go up and download it. And also, you get to watch the film Supercharge Your Immune System also. So that's it for today. We look forward to sharing a lot more with you tomorrow. And on Friday, hopefully, I will have my 5G newest article with all the information you need to know so you can fight it, ready to present to you. Have a nice day, everyone.